Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you on this Father's Day and this Juneteenth weekend in the name of the one who preached that we are beloved children of a divine parent and who proclaimed that his ministry was to set the captive free and to usher in the new reign of God's favor. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are joining us by our live streamed or our recorded worship. Distance and time continues to separate us, and yet a time is coming soon when many of us will be able to join with one another again in person in worship. I look forward to that day. However, no matter how we join together in worship, we are still one in the body of Christ by the power of the Spirit. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. I want to say a little bit about our worship today. We have a Juneteenth emphasis, and we'll share more about that later on. For now, know that we are celebrating with people of African slave descent, freedom from slavery achieved in 1865, and we're dedicating ourselves to the ongoing work of establishing their full freedom and that of all people who lack full freedom and equality. As we join together in worship, we have a few announcements this morning. I'm going to thank our worship leaders for giving of their talents this day. And so I thank Lane McDonough and Wayne Zaretter, Sarah Lynn Keller, Tom Foster, and Beth Canterbury. I also want to thank members of our senior choir for putting together a video performance of A Song of Praise, which you are going to hear later in this worship. And I, of course, extend special thanks to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and the staff at Pegasus Natick for making this worship possible technically. A little bit about our worship. We have a time of lighting a candle together, and so I invite you to have a candle that you can light as I light the Christ candle. That will happen just after the announcements. And also, we have a time of lifting up prayer concerns and celebrations during worship, during a time of community prayer. Many of those are found in our worship bulletin, so you can look at them there. But if you have other prayer concerns or celebrations that you would like us to lift up and worship this day, you can email them to us now at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. If we receive those by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate them into our morning prayer this morning. And of course, we have a time of post-worship fellowship immediately following our worship via Zoom video conferencing. You'll find a link to that in our bulletin, also coming to you through the weekly emailing that went out on Friday and also this morning, Sunday. And you'll also find it on our church's website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. And I know that Sarah Lynn has a few announcements to share as well.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. We look forward to shifting our worship hour to 9:30 this summer, beginning on July 4th. So mark your calendars. In a couple of weeks, we will start an hour early to take advantage of those cool breezes in the morning. And we are really looking forward to our return to in-person worship, which will happen July 18th. We will welcome people in the sanctuary. Just be aware that we are still going to continue doing our live stream and broadcasting over the Pegasus stations, and we will have our worship services available by video on our website as well. So you can still join us virtually if you're not ready to enter the sanctuary yet. And be alert for a letter coming to your mailbox soon with more details about all of that. And then we want you to save the date for September 19th. We will return for a rally day with a big celebration to celebrate coming back to in-person programming and worship together. And we hope that you will all be there for that amazing day. This coming weekend, we have a few things happening. On Saturday, there will be a family hike at Elm Bank. And then following that, that starts at 10 a.m. And then at 11 a.m., also at Elm Bank, there will be a book group gathering to discuss the book by Kristen Hanna, The Four Winds. It's a tale of a family during the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl era. It was a fascinating read. We hope you can join us for that as well. For more information about that, you can reach out to me or to the church office. And you can also let Sharon know if you're coming to the book group. It does take an entry ticket to get into the gardens at Elm Bank. And the Family Promise will be joining us next Sunday for our post-worship fellowship coffee hour to update us on some exciting upcoming changes that are happening within the Family Promise Metro West organization. We look forward to hearing about those exciting things that are happening with them in the future months to come. Thank you.
Let us now light our candles together, remembering by these friendly flames that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we continue to be the body of Christ, no matter how distance or time may be dividing us. Let us join together in doing so now. And let us continue now our worship with this morning's responsive call to celebration.
Please join me in a responsive call to celebration. Transforming God, in this worship and beyond, we pray for your change.
Change the easy pace we make with ourselves into holy discontent because of the oppression of others.
Change our tendency to defend ourselves into the freedom that comes from being forgiven and empowered through your love.
Change our need for disguises and excuses into the ability to be honest with ourselves and open with one another.
Change our inclination to judge others into a desire to serve and uplift others.
Change our routine worship and work into genuine encounter with you and our better selves, so that our lives will be changed for the good of all.
God's Spirit empowers us to move from the ways of death to the ways of new life.
Let us give ourselves to one another in joyful community of justice and peace.
Please join me in the opening prayer taken from a piece by James Weldon Johnson called Listen, Lord, a Prayer, as we say together, O Lord, we come this morning, knee bowed and body bent, before thy throne of grace. O Lord, this morning, bow our hearts beneath our knees and our knees in some lonesome valley. We come this morning like empty pitchers to a full fountain, with no merits of our own. O Lord, open up a window of heaven and lean out far over the battlements of glory and listen this morning. Amen.
I invite each of us now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing, perhaps placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and sharing our peace with the spirits of others, or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow, which conveys a sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We come to a time now of reflecting on the many ways that our lives have been blessed and the many gifts that we have that we can bless the lives of others with. And so I know that this is a congregation that is doing that in so many ways through our church and also in our individual lives. So continue to do that. Be generous in all the ways that you can, in particular, as that generosity will build up the body of Christ and also bring about the world that God would have us bring about. Your continued money generosity is also important for the continuing ministry through our congregation. And so we invite you to continue to be generous in that way. You can write a check and send it to the church office, of course, or you could visit our church's website at www.firstchurchnatick.org and make a contribution online through our online and secure portal. Let us bring our whole selves in gratitude to a gracious God, offering a portion of the fruits of our life and labor that we might work to bring about the new day into which our God is calling us and calling this broken world. Thank you. Let us pray. O God, through the offering of these gifts, may we become a more open people, open-minded in hearing your word and wisdom, open-hearted in healing a broken world, and open-handed in heeding your call for charity and enacted love. With thanks for all good gifts, we present a portion of our substance and the whole of ourselves. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, you may have heard about Tom Hanks's recent essay in the New York Times calling for more widespread teaching about the 1921 Tulsa race massacre. In it, he confessed that he'd only heard about the event last year. And I will confess that I had heard of it in an American history course back in college, but if I ever knew them, I had forgotten the details. Hanks has been praised for bringing focus to the massacre, for calling on the entertainment industry to accept responsibility, for shaping how history is remembered, and for admitting that some of his own projects have left out the history of Black people. In an opinion piece for NPR about Hanks, Black journalist Eric Deggans acknowledged this, saying, "After many years of speaking out about race and media in America, I know the toughest thing for some white Americans, especially those who consider themselves advocates against racism, is to admit that they were personally and specifically connected to the elevation of white culture over other cultures." So I'm thinking that such admission begins in part by actively remembering. And that is one of the reasons why Juneteenth proclaimed a national holiday this week, why it's so important. My hope in observing Juneteenth as an open and affirming congregation is really threefold. Firstly, and above all, lifting up the cultural contributions and history of Black people, lifting up Black people, period. But also acknowledging the strides toward freedom and equality, and yet the vast distance yet to go. And finally, for white people, including me, confronting our part in this history and our place in the structures that continue to deny Black people their rights and freedoms. And so we remember. We remember things like June 19th, 1865, and we mark the 156th anniversary of Juneteenth, commemorating the day slavery officially ended in Texas with the reading of federal orders by Union General Gordon Granger that previously enslaved people were free. Sarah Lynn passed on an important detail of this story to me this week. It seems that accompanying Granger was the entire 25th Corps, composed of formerly enslaved Black men whose transport ships had been forced to anchor in Galveston Bay on June 18th because of bad weather. So by good fortune, on June 19th, when Granger arrived, the 1,000 or more enslaved people working in Galveston's ports and houses and hotels, the cotton fields and barber shops and smithing shops, they would have witnessed thousands of Black men in blue uniforms as their liberators. Of course, in Texas and elsewhere, bondage and violence continued. But as Henry Louis Gates Jr. has said, defying delay and terror and violence in one of the most inspiring grassroots efforts of the post-Civil War period, the newly freed Black men and women of Texas transformed June 19th from a day of previously unheeded military orders into their own annual right. Juneteenth, beginning 1 year later in 1866. Today, Juneteenth is a day of celebration that includes family celebrations, gatherings, music, dance, storytelling, readings and lectures and exhibitions from Black artists and academics on Black history and culture. And especially in these last couple of years, it's also a time to remember those Black women and men like George Floyd killed because of the color of their skin and sometimes by the hands of those very authorities put in place to protect their rights. And yet we also remember the vast gulf between the hope of full freedom and the reality of inequality Black people continue to experience. And so on its 100th anniversary, we remember the Tulsa Race Massacre, May 31st to June 1st, 1921. A white mob was inflamed by the false report of a Black teen sexually assaulting a white teen and further incensed that Black World War I veterans had taken up arms to prevent the boy from being lynched. The white mob went on to loot and torch the 40 square block prosperous Black community of Greenwood, including a 1,200 homes and a thriving commercial district known as Black Wall Street. Hundreds of Black people were murdered. 8,000 or more left homeless. Armed whites prevented firefighters from battling the blaze. Tulsa's police never showed. Often inaccurately referred to as the Tulsa Race Riot, it was no two-sided battle. It was a massacre, pure and simple. In 2001, an Oklahoma commission published its finding that the city of Tulsa had conspired to destroy Greenwood. Commissioners suggested reparations, but they They had no power to assign culpability or determine damages or order restitution. A pending lawsuit against the city by survivors and their descendants seeks a host of reparations, including compensation and mental health services and redistribution of land to the families of Greenwood's original landowners. This May, you may have heard testifying before a House Judiciary Subcommittee, Tulsa race massacre survivors asking for long delayed justice and for America to acknowledge what really happened. 107-year-old Viola Fletcher said, I still see Black men being shot and Black bodies lying in the street. I still smell smoke and see fire, see Black businesses being burned, hear airplanes overhead. I hear the screams. I have lived the massacre every day. Our country may forget this history, but I cannot. And speaking of prior efforts to seek justice through the courts, Hughes Van Ellis, a World War II veteran, said, "We were made to feel our struggle was unworthy of justice, that we were less than whites, that we weren't fully Americans. We live the massacre every day, and that thought of what Greenwood was or could have been." So that is one of the reasons why we remember such an event today. Which brings me back to journalist Eric Deggans, acknowledging how tough it is for white Americans who are against racism to admit that they were personally connected to the elevation of white culture over other cultures. Because Deggans asks more of Hanks and more of us, not just to be non-racist, but to be anti-racist. Anti-racist, he explains, implies action, looking around your universe and taking specific steps to dismantle systemic racism. If he really wants to make a difference, Deggans says, Hanks and other stars need to talk specifically about how their work has contributed to these problems and how they will change. They need to make specific commitments to changing the conversation in story subjects, casting, and execution. And he concludes that is the truly hard work of building change. Well, Deggans, I think, is right to ask more of well-meaning, powerful people like Tom Hanks and the entertainment industry. But given its history and power, Deggans could easily have said, if it really wants to make a difference, the church needs to talk about its work and how it has contributed to these problems and how it will change. Because there is something more that we need to remember this day. We need to remember that it was the church's misuse of the Bible that helped make slavery and the racism that it's founded upon possible. The Reverend Dr. Peter Gomes tells this story in his work, The Good Book, cautioning us about the dangers of literalism and the dangers of culturalism. Nowhere in the Bible is slavery condemned. Nowhere. And everywhere in the Bible is it present. Is it the practice? Slave owners, segregationists, white supremacists, all have found justification for their views in scriptures like Genesis 9, the so-called curse of Ham. Noah curses Ham and his descendants to slavery for the unpardonable offense of Ham inadvertently witnessing his father's nakedness. Really? Ham's son Canaan, in various literatures, is the father of the Philistines, the ancestor of all Africa, so these traditions say. This, combined with Paul's telling slaves to be obedient to their masters, helped form what can only be called the moral grounds of slavery and racism. These were, in short, considered divinely approved, right? These are things that Gomes refers to as the most vivid instance of the appeal to scripture for the support of the culture, culturalism. Yet there's more to this story. And of course, there's more to be remembered, because abolition found its impetus in the perceived inconsistency between slavery with the biblical principles of justice and mercy. And later, the civil rights movement embodied in the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. became a moral crusade, determined, as Peter Gomes says, by a sense of biblical justice and equity before God. In short, the very scripture used to maintain the status quo would eventually become used by some to destroy the status quo on the basis of broad scriptural principles of mercy, of justice, and of loving kindness. So today, it's possible to hear Paul. Possible to hear Paul, once the standard bearer for white supremacy's defense of the status quo, in a new light. It's possible to hear Paul as the apostle of liberation. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed, but be transformed. Paul offers freedom to those who are open and responsive to God's Spirit. Freedom from captivity to culturally conditioned norms and values and perspectives, ancient and contemporary, that are yet against the will of God and the way of Jesus. Freedom to be transformed into our best selves. How is that possible? Well, Paul tells us it's in discernment, seeking the Spirit's guidance and formation of our moral imagination, and reading our scriptures and knowing our traditions through that lens. Detractors, I've heard sometimes say that our tradition isn't Bible-based. And I am here to tell you that there is nothing further from the truth. It is just that we are not literalists. We question culturally conditioned views that are against our faith principles, especially when they are propped up by dubiously selective chosen scripture. Reading and hearing scripture in each generation is for us a kind of Pentecostal experience, as Peter Gomes says. The authority of scripture lies in how the discerned spirit guides us. As John Robinson said to the pilgrims, there is yet more light and truth to break forth from God's holy word. And so we say, God is still speaking. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we hear and we respond. What then, faithful rememberers, faithful discerners, does God say what we must do to follow in our spiritual ancestors' footsteps who were guided to become abolitionists and then to become civil rights marchers, for us to become anti-racists, to really do that? That's the holy work for us to discern together today, bringing us that much closer to realizing the full promise that Juneteenth observance holds up for Black people and for all people. May our loving God and our inspired lives make it so. Amen. So we come to a time now of lifting up so many things in prayer. Many of these concerns and celebrations are found in your bulletin. And so we invite you to take a look at those. We celebrate with Black people Juneteenth and what it means for them and what it might mean for all of us. And of course, this day we also celebrate fathers. Thanks for all our fathers, those biological ones and those who came to us by some other circumstance. The men who helped raise us to be the people who we are. I know I provided a shout out to you last week, Dad, but I just say happy Father's Day yet again. Also this day, we are remembering the people of Alabama and other southern states who are experiencing damage real concern over the weather pattern of the tropical depression called Claudette. We pray for them in the midst of this and in the cleanup that will surely be happening. And I turn now to Wings of Redder to let us know about other prayer concerns or celebrations that have been lifted up this day. Wayne.
Good morning. May the healing love of God surround our daughter-in-law's beloved Aunt Melba Martinez as she begins the long road to recovery from her recent stroke. We offer prayers of continued healing for Grace Osgood, who is recuperating at home, recovering from major surgery last week. Prayers go out to John Cirelli, who recently had surgery for aggressive thyroid cancer. Prayers for continued healing and strength to Dan Bartone, a retired Natick firefighter who is recovering from recent hip surgery. Prayers of gratitude for the timely service of our first responders who were able to contain the flames of last evening's fire on Franconia Ave. And may our neighbors find comfort and resilience as they are faced with the recovery from last evening's blaze in their home. Lastly, prayers of celebration go out to Rosalie Macholi, who will celebrate her 100th birthday on Monday.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Wayne. This morning for our prayer, we'll be drawing on the poetry of James Weldon Johnson. Our opening prayer was from Johnson, and also our final hymn, Lift Every Voice and Sing, is from Johnson. Today, Lift Every Voice and Sing is one of the most cherished songs of the African-American civil rights movement and is often referred to as the Black National Anthem. Johnson, born in 1871, was a national organizer for the NAACP, and he was the author of poetry and nonfiction and fiction as well, novels often exploring racial identity and the African-American folk tradition. We're going to sing that hymn a little bit later. For now, we're going to draw on it for this litany that we offer on the occasion of Juneteenth weekend to express our commitment to being instruments for the ending of systemic racism and white supremacy end to becoming anti-racist. Please join me in this responsive litany. Celebration rises up from the deep places, finding voice in the light and air no longer denied.
Lift every voice and sing. Sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty.
Celebration arises, not blind to the suffering, not blind to the sorrow. Celebration comes at a cost.
Stony the road we trod, bitter the chastening rod, felt in the days when hope unborn had died. Yet with a steady beat, have not our weary feet come to the place for which our parents sighed.
Celebration rises, remembering the way we have come, the paths taken that have brought us here now to this place and time of celebration. Celebration rises up and up full of remembering, remembering the ones led to freedom by Harriet, remembering lives and freedom stolen like George Floyd and a long line of others before and after him.
We have come over a way that with tears has been watered. We have come treading our path through the blood of the slaughtered. Out from the gloomy past, till now we stand at last, where the white gleam of our bright star is cast.
Celebration rises, recognizing what has been done and left undone, knowing there is still and yet much to do, so much further to go. Celebration rises, naming the victories, recognizing the challenges yet ahead. Celebration rises on voices offering unfinished praise.
Lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we meet thee, lest our hearts drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee.
Celebration rises, resisting illusions to be embraced by the real and abiding presence of God, who breaks our chains and sets us free for freedom in power and love and joy.
God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who hast brought us thus far on our way, thou who has been by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in thy path, we pray.
Celebration rises with the power of healing wings and promise to endure. Celebration rises, celebrating that by God's grace, I am because you are. You are because I am. Celebrating that the fullness of my humanity does not diminish yours, and the fullness of your humanity does not diminish mine.
Shadowed beneath thy hand, may we forever stand true to our God, true to our native land, true to who we are, true to who we have been, and who we are becoming. Thanks be to God.
Holy and righteous God, you created us in your image. Grant us grace to contend fearlessly against evil and to make no peace with oppression.
Help us, like those of generations before us, who resisted the evil of slavery and human bondage in any form and any manner of oppression. Help us to use our freedoms to bring justice among people and nations everywhere. In Jesus' name we pray, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Siblings in Christ, God sends us into the world to accept the cost and to discover the joy of discipleship. Therefore, arise from worship now, carrying with you the peace of Christ, the love of God, and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit in trial and in rejoicing. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen. Thank you.